CFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey loyalty program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
Transformers for your listening pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus star?
Ratchet, will you take the chorus star?
Transformers, defenders of truth, robots who fight in disguise.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure, TFYLP, episode number 228. Recorded January 7th, 2017. I'm your host, Ron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Rick Alvarez.
I am broadcasting tonight from the Wilbraham Correctional Facility in Western Massachusetts.
Jim Black.
Hi.
I hope you're not.
I totally got Power Master Prime.
Yay, welcome to 6 months ago.
drink two beers for getting to the party late.
Headmaster Don.
Hey, everybody.
And Sergio Garcia.
I'm back.
Back in black.
We're blue.
He's not wearing black.
I always imagine Sergio having some kind of thick accent, like, hey, I like the Transformers. Is it a car? Is it a robot? Hey, it turns into different things, huh?
It's a Sergio name, you know. I think it's a gotta have it. But
that's not stereotyping at all.
No, it's not.
Well, that's not racist.
No, we're multicultural, multinational on this show. But anyway, we are back from our holiday hiatus. If you checked out our last episode, which was our holiday episode. Way back on December 17th, we took a couple weeks off for Christmas and New Year's to allow for our families and everything to enjoy our gracious presence and everything. I hope everybody had a great holiday. Did everybody have a good holiday?
It's over. That's all I care about.
I had to spend it with my family.
Oh. I got Power Master Prime.
Well, you know, they do get to visit, you know, over the holidays some, I'm sure.
Yeah, but it's not a congitory visit, so, you know, why bother?
Anybody get any toys over the holidays, except for what was on the show last time?
You know, I never get toys from my wife or my mom, so this year I said, I want to get a toy. So I wrapped up some toys that I bought, and I wrote... I packaged them to Rick from Elena, and to my surprise, I actually got some cool toys from my wife and my mom. I got the BB-8, the Force BB-8, the one you use your hand to control.
Oh,
that's really cool. It freaks the cats out. And I got a drone, which, you know, that's cool. I can spy on my neighbors now without them seeing me.
A tank, yeah. Jet, or otherwise. You know, jet drone or tank drone.
Oh. Sorry.
Attack drone.
Right. I got it.
Yeah.
And I got some Walking Dead figures, which, hey, they're not transformed. That's cool. You know, why not?
Well, they transform from alive to dead and not back.
Yeah. It's a one time.
What about you, Don?
I got nothing.
You didn't even buy yourself anything?
You broke his cup.
Yeah, but I did, but I'm waiting for the PayPal refund from the closed seller account that apparently took the money and run. So, no. Although I did find locally, well, it wasn't a Crimson Kid, but I did find Stormshot, who despite his simple transformation, visually, I love Stormshot. I got Blast Charge, which is a nice redone of Megatronus, although I wish they had kept the Blast Charge face on the packaging. But that's really just a couple of small things. But they weren't even really – my Christmas gift to me was making it through Christmas without going absolutely insane since I work retail. So,
yes, as Rick pours him a nice glass of liquor.
Help ease the pain.
And Diet Coke. You got to throw it in there. What about you, Jim?
Me? I'm pouring myself a nice glass of iced tea.
No, I mean toys over the holidays.
Oh.
God, well, Jesus.
Power Master Optimus Prime.
Greatest leader of all time.
I'm still not completely sold on this funky looking noggin here. Yeah. I mean, just looking at it.
It almost has an Orion Pax.
Yeah, exactly. Look to yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. For.
Yeah. But, got a G1 cup type of feel to it in the eHobby exclusive redeco.
What do you want to bet me that they use that head on cup in a Orion Pax redeco?
I would not be surprised.
On Titan Returns cup.
You know, as ugly as that would be, I would kind of want it just because of, you know, what it's trying to homage.
It's something the club would have done.
Yeah. But now, Jim, you can, if you pick up the Triple Changer Voyager Optimus, you can use dot. There's several videos out there that show what, because you're under the helmet, you really can't tell Dyak from the other ones.
Right.
So, I mean, you could, or if you get Genrai from Japan, you can mix and match the heads and it wouldn't be too bad under the helmet.
What about you, Sergio?
I'd like to pick up both versions of the mold.
What about you? Did you pick up anything?
My dad played a prank on me. So,
you tell.
We got the, every year I get it in the mail, the TF Source, like, holiday guide. And so I circled that I wanted a Masterpiece Inferno, and I gave it to him. And I was like, this is what I want for Christmas. And so Christmas came, and he handed me a small package. And he's like, I think this is what you've been wanting. So I opened it, and it was a busted G1 Inferno.
Oh.
And I was like, well, you got the character right. And he's like, oh, man, the eBay guy really ripped me off. He told me it was brand new in box and everything. And I was like, well, at least you tried. And a couple minutes passed, and then he's like, well, I think there's another present. And he busted out the Masterpiece Inferno.
Nice. That's
cool.
So I was more surprised that he knew that there was a G1 version. So he did some research.
That is
really he awesome. Did some research.
And then for myself, I bought the Genrai from Japan.
Sweet. So, yeah, I've still got mine in the pile.
I'm not a huge fan of the mold. The feet are kind of crap, but...
Well, I think the feet are because of the God Bomber edition. Yeah. They allow for interaction with that.
That's the one thing I've been hearing that everyone's pretty much saying is, other than from the ankles up, he's fine. It's just the ankles and the feet. But it's like I said this before. If you're going to get God Bomber, you've got to have to get Genrai now, because even with whatever flaws Genrai has, the aftermarket price on Genrai is going to be in the stratosphere by the time God Bomber comes out.
Here's the thing. You know Takara is going to reissue it. And, you know, I would bet, now I don't have any inside information on this, but I would bet that somehow Hasbro is going to put the two of those figures together and either make it like a San Diego exclusive or somewhere else. So
actually,
be Rick, patient.
Yeah, actually, Rick, you are reading my mind. You are reading my mind. You are Mentalk the Mind Taker, because
Mentalk the Mind Taker.
Because spoiler for next week's RFC is our predictions for 2017 episode. And that was going to be literally one of my predictions, is we're going to see Genrai and God Bomber in a Toys R Us 2-pack like their Toys R Us Apex armor was all those years ago. And that's going to be the Christmas exclusive for 2017. But you read my mind, and that's my one of my predictions for 2017 right there.
Well, Don's crystal ball.
I can see that.
Planet Earth exclusive. What is that? The Entertainment Earth?
Yeah, Lyle Kaiser's.
Yeah. So we'll see. What was? Well, are you surprised that I knew the MemTalk reference?
No. You're my age. You'll remember MemTalk.
Okay.
Well, let's be real though here. I mean, going back to the crap feet, how many people are going to display it in Genrai mode without God Bomber attached to it once they get God Bomber?
Up until they get God Bomber,
it'll be total of maybe two people.
Yeah. Let's be honest, God Bomber has some serious arm issues. From any other viewpoint than that one angle, he has no arms. They're just multi-crossed flaps that don't do it. They're just like, I can fly. Yeah,
but it's great. I mean, it's a real homage to the G1 God Bomber.
If they want to homage God Bomber, make the damn catalog version. That's what I knew.
Don was going to go there. I don't know
because
why.
I'm sorry. Because I bought, God help him, I love Tony Prito. Back in the day, I've told this story before. I bought God Bomber based on the catalog that I got from the person in Japan I was buying stuff from, based on the catalog picture. I didn't know that God Bomber didn't exist.
Hey, you want to know something about that God Bomber featured in that magazine in the Generations book? When I went to Japan last time, I actually got the hold of that in my hand.
The prototype?
The one pictured in that book.
Yeah. Because someone said it would have cost several hundred yen at that. Well, if they had tried making it the way that picture was, it would have been so expensive.
It's a very simple thing. They never really finished the engineering on it. So what I was looking at was a very – it's in the hands of a collector, a very private collector. Only a few people know him. He lives in
the woods.
No, he's very well to do Japanese gentleman. I use that word loosely, gentleman. But yeah, he had a couple of nice things, and one of them was that. So that was a treat for me to actually see that. He had a couple of nice things that I was trying to get off him, but yeah. No sale.
On a brief tangent, Hydra posted a picture of the GoBot racing rig back from G2 that never got produced. And there's been very few prototypes that I've ever wanted to try to get because the prototype part of the collecting thing has never interested me, mainly because of the cost. But that's the one piece I've always wanted is that GoBot racing rig from the rest of G2 that was never produced.
Mm. You know they made the artwork for that.
Yeah. I've seen the artwork several times through the years, but I remember seeing the actual prototype where they had it at BotCon. You flip down the ramp. You could launch the GoBot off the ramp.
Yeah.
And they talked about it being compatible with major track systems.
Yeah. All those prototypes were gone by the time I got there. Yeah.
But, you know, I would love to see that. That's, and again, this is a spoiler for one of my predictions next year. If that mode was still viable, I could see them making the trailer and including maybe like five other GoBots, Autobots and Decepticons. And making like a kind of like a Hot Wheels kind of gift set that I think would be so cool.
Well, speaking of Genrai, we'll move on to my Christmas haul. Our good friend Orson, the owner of Captured Prey, he stopped by Christmas night. We had a big thing. A lot of traveling to do on Christmas Day because we started out, my girlfriend and her two kids and I, we had Christmas the night before at her mom's house. And then the next morning we got up, had a big breakfast, and then we traveled an hour and a half away to my mom and dad's, and we spent the day there. Well, we got back, and later that night, Orson showed up, as he always does, dressed up in his Santa outfit for his motorbike. All of his closest friends in the area, he drives around on his motorbike. He's got a big Santa beard that he attaches to his helmet, Santa hat on his helmet, and he shows up and parts gifts to people. Well, you know, my girlfriend, her daughter's she's 12. She's really into those Shopkins things. They look like fancy little erasers to me, but she's she got a few of those, and whoa, my chair is chair is giving out on me. Then my girlfriend, she got a gift card, and then he gave me a box, and I opened it up, and it was Fire Guts Gajin Rai stickers unapplied. And which I'm going to do it. I'm going to sticker that sucker, you know.
That's bold.
You should do. You should contact Repro Labels and ask them if they have that sticker sheet.
Yeah.
And if they don't, then you scan it in. You send it to them.
Ooh.
Be a brother.
I hadn't thought of that.
I have scans.
Help a friend out, man.
I have scans of the Ratchet stickers from BotCon.
Yeah, and Duran, as someone who knows who Great Goldoran is. Mm-hmm. Do not put him and Goldoran on the same shelf, because if sunlight hits those two together, you will absolutely be basically burnt into a crisp from just the glare from those two figures.
Orson, he knows my love of brightly colored characters, and he picked
retina burning characters is not love, I don't think.
I love them.
It's blind love.
I love them, but. He got that for me, and little did he know that was actually the Grail version of that mold for me. I have always wanted a Fire Guts Gajin Rai, but it was the price of it is always up there, and I'm like, I want it, but I just can't swing the money. Swing that kind of money on it. It was a Grail version of that mold, but it wasn't a Holy Grail for me. But now I have it. I'm like, that one ain't going anywhere. And it is just.
You want to sell that?
No.
I need a loose one.
No.
Yeah. As much as I like the Fire Guts version, I think I like, even though the Nucleon Quest version doesn't have the God Bomber part, I think the Nucleon Quest is a somewhat nicer version of that.
Yeah.
Well, just because
I had the Nucleon Quest at one time and was forced to sell it because not from my choice, but someone made me sell it. But anyway, I had it, I liked it, but I wish it had the black Apex armor with it too, the God Bomber.
Was the Nucleon Quest, that was Super Convoy. That wasn't
it was just Super Gen Rai all. Yeah.
But you know, if they had done a matching God Bomber, it would have been like that Ultra Magnus. That was that Lucky Draw Ultra Magnus. They only did like 10 of the black Ultra Magnus that goes with Black Fire Convoy.
But shortly after Christmas, I put several things up for sale, which there's still some great stuff up on the webpage and also on the Twitter feed if you want to check that out. But I sold some things, and I turned around and pumped it right back into the collection. And the very first thing I paid for was this bad boy here, my Fans Toys FT-18 Lupus, a.k.a. Masterpiece Weird Wolf. Absolutely love this thing. The entire chest, the robot feet, and the wolf feet are all die-cast metal. This thing is heavy. If I had to guess, well, I don't even have to guess. I got a scale right here. This thing weighs 2 pounds, exactly.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's a lot of wolf.
That's a lot of wolf. But in my opinion, the wolf mode is like the best weird wolf mode that we've gotten out of any weird wolf toy so far.
Now, does that actually have the headmaster feature?
Yes, it does.
But does it have the chest? Where the chest opens up?
Boom.
Now, are those stationary stickers?
They are.
Or is it actually?
It's molded in. They're stationary,
still,
but it's molded.
Like, I look at my Titan's Return, and I keep wanting to like touch the chest because I look at it. I'm like, there's a hinge there that's molded on. It should open.
Yeah,
it should open. And I get very frustrated that they don't open.
But that was my main pickup. I finished off the third party Dino King. which I'm a little bit disappointed with it because the leg joints do not tab in very well. But other than that, it looks pretty awesome. I picked up my 4 Shark Decons from Orson. Now I've got my Quintessons and Shark Decons around, and if I find any more Shark Decons out in the wild, I'm going to get those too. I don't want any more than 10, but I want a little army of Shark Decons to put around my Quintessons there. They're neat little guys. Fun little transformation. Very G1-esque in their look. Picked those up. Finally paid off my Unique Toys provider, which is the third-party Octane.
That's a nice figure.
Orson's had it on display at the Zone here in Louisville for like a year. And he bought as the display piece for selling that particular figure. Well, whenever he finally sold out, he didn't need it anymore. And I'm like, well, I'll pick it up for you. And well, here it is a year later, and I finally got it. But it's a great figure. And what else did I get? Did I get anything else? I can't remember. I think that's it. But then last night, I'm going to segue into our sponsors here. You can check out our sponsor, Capture Prey, and pre-order this little beauty. It's not yet released, but you've been seeing some reviews on YouTube and everything. This is Fans Project Lost Realm Ikara. It's a female Dinobot. She turns into a Pachycephalosaurus. And then there's a mold mate that is a slight remold of this that turns into a raptor, a velociraptor. And you can pre-order that at Capture Prey. I'll be shooting up some pictures here in the next night or two. Check out our Facebook group and everything for those.
Well, Duran, you only need about 6 more Shark Decons, and you'll catch up with Matt, with Melvar on RFC, because he think he has about 12 right now, but 3 haven't got there yet. So he has like 9 Shark Decons, and he's got 3 Why? More coming.
That's cute. He's got 9.
Well, I don't want to get like 100 of them or anything, you know. But
that's cute. He's got 9.
Well, Rick, how many Shark Decons do you have yet?
Actually, to be honest, truth be told, I don't even have one. I don't have a single one. But I am planning on, unlike the sweeps and the Viacons, the sweeps max out at 100. The Viacons are eternal, so I will always buy them as whenever I see them. The Shark Decons, I think I'm going to max out around 30. I'm thinking 25 to 30 because I have several sets of the third-party ones. Plus, I have a third-party Quintesson, so I have a nice diorama going on already. So I think about 30 loose ones will suffice.
Yeah, I mean, a nice little army of them. If I fill up a Detolf shelf, I'll be happy with them. But
yeah, no, that's a respectable number.
Yeah, you can check out the Lost Realm Ikara. You can pre-order it on our sponsor, Capture Prey. Great toys, great prices, great service. CaptureProey.com, where you can save even more with domestic orders of $150 or more with free shipping. And you can also check out our other sponsor, Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection while minimizing your costs with MegaToyFan.com. You can find Mega Toy Fan at all the biggest toy conventions year-round, such as TFCon, and Joe Con, I believe he's going to be at. So all kinds of stuff there. Always a great parts party with Mega Toy Fan. Also, if you're watching us live right now, do us a favor and subscribe. Share this video with across the groups and Facebook and places that you would like to share us with. Also, check us out on Twitter at TFYLP. I happen to be monitoring the Twitter feed and the YouTube comments. So if you're watching us live, chat us up on there. I'm sure Jackal is watching the Facebook group right now. We'll be mentioning your comments if you have anything relevant to what we're saying here, and we may embarrass you on live podcasting. Yeah. totally. But let's move on to our main topic of discussion tonight. Our main topic of discussion tonight is, it kind of came to me this afternoon, I'll be honest with you. I've been having a lot of things go on this week, so I hadn't really put a lot of thought into the episode tonight. But then this afternoon I got to thinking, you know, I heard somebody mention the State of the Union address on TV at a store I was at. And I got to thinking, hey, why don't we do a Transformers State of the Union and kind of roundtable the discussion tonight about where our opinion of the Transformers franchise is right now, coming into 2017, and where we expect it to go and where we would like it to go this coming calendar year. So I'm going to kick off the discussion. Let's go with Rick. What's your thoughts on the state of the franchise right now and where you would like it to go?
Well, I have a lot to say about this subject. I think it's a great time, beginning of the year, to discuss this. Let's talk about... I'm going to start off with third party, segue into the film, and then end with Hasbro Takara. So, third party. We have seen third party evolve from add-on sets to figures to enhance our generations to basically all of them competing to get the first masterpiece out. I think if you love these characters... Now, okay, a little history about me. Yeah, I used to work at Hasbro, and whenever you work for a company, you have to kind of drink the Kool-Aid and believe in what the company is best at and what is best for them. When I was no longer employed at Hasbro, the first month, I think I spent like $2,000 on third-party toys because I didn't have any at the time. All of the things I had were just, you know, official office reference. Right. So third parties come a long way. I think if you love these figures, you should collect the way you want to collect and take ownership of your collection. And whether that means buying an official release or a third-party release, do what is best for you. Enjoy your collection, because that's all it is. These are just pieces of plastic that sit on our shelves at the end of the day. So live it up. Do what you feel is best for you. I collect third-party and official. And I'm happy doing that. I'm not a purist either way. And then I collect other brands as well. So I'm glad to see that several third parties are making Masterpiece. I wish more of them focused on Generations because that is a line that is very near and dear to me. So, moving on to the films. In conclusion, collect the way you want to collect and be happy. Moving on to the films. I got the opportunity to work on several of the films during my tenure at Hasbro. It's cool to see that some of the ideas that we get pitched for movie 4 are now making it into movie 5. It was exciting to see that. But I'm a little tired of repetition, and movie 5 looks exactly the same way as movie 1 did. It's just, it's the same style, it's the same aesthetic, even though they have different alt modes. The silhouettes don't pass the squint test for me. They aren't different enough. So my hope is that the movie will, with the Bumblebee movie and with part 6 and 7 of the main saga, that they change director, change the artistic direction. And from what I know about this fifth film, it kind of sets up a larger universe, which I'm excited about. I just want to see different designs, different aesthetics, and I want to see less of the unnecessary accents in the voice acting of the robots. no reason why the wreckers needed to be Australian. They're NASCARs. They should have been Southerners. So,
top stitch without lines.
Right. Yeah. So, Takara and Hasbro. Takara is still very good at catering towards the collector market. They know they're going to export a certain number of each product. That's why they're hitting it hard with the paint decos and with the exclusive tooling, with the Titans Return Headmaster heads and the God Bomber. They're doing a great job. I think Hasbro is doing what they do in order to be profitable. And while they do have a great mind on the team who is feeding them characters, and we're seeing a lot of great characters that we haven't seen in a couple years, and we're actually seeing headmasters, despite the great selection of toys and characters, I think they need to kind of reassess where the brand is and what are they setting up for the next 15 to 20 years? What will the brand look like in 20 years from now? Will the brand be celebrating Masterpiece Armada Optimus Prime? When I see a lot of transforming figures produced by Hasbro that don't actually transform, I get a bit nervous, and I wonder, what is the legacy that they're going to leave behind 15, 20 years from now as the children who play with those figures grow up? What are they going to want as far as a masterpiece? Are they going to want a masterpiece Optimus Prime that doesn't transform and just moves its arms up and down? It really does bother me that there doesn't seem to be a clear focus for the direction of the brand. And I don't know who else on the panel will agree with me, but I think they've kind of lost focus, and I would love for them to kind of reassess where they are, reassess the artistic direction of the figures and the need for paint apps. If Shopkins can get the pupils done right on their figures, and I have two girls, as far as I know, I just have two, if they can get the pupils and all the little details on those Shopkins, and there's no reason why a Titan Masterhead shouldn't have paint on it. I've seen how the sausage is made. And
giggity.
there's no reason why they can't budget in those extra paint apps for the Titan's head. So that's my piece on the state of the brand in general.
Can I follow up?
Yeah.
So I pretty much 100% agree with what you said, because I actually had a similar conversation with my dad today. We went to go pick up dinner, and I said, well, let's go to Toys R Us just while we wait for the food to get ready. And we were waiting in line, and as we were waiting in line to check out, right next to the registers was like the small display they had for all the Star Wars stuff. And I told him how I recently started collecting Star Wars stuff again, and I told him, you know, 3 years ago, we had the vintage collection, which was 100% geared toward collectors. You know, you had
but kids could also enjoy it.
Yeah, because they were affordable, cheap figures that, you know, all ages could enjoy. You know,
and sorry to interrupt you, but even though something like a Y-Wing appeared in a vintage 80s style box, doesn't mean that a kid today can't enjoy that and play with it the way it's meant to be played with.
Mm-hmm. And so on one of the end caps was the new, I believe it's TIE Striker. And I told him how I've looked at reviews online, and, you know, the toy looks good, but the wings are completely rubber.
Wow. I've seen those. I didn't know that.
They've replaced missiles with Nerf darts. The little figures that they come with have maybe 4-5 points of articulation. Side to side head, up, down arms, legs in, out, no knees, no elbows, no swivel joints, no nothing. And the direction that Hasbro is, I don't want to go into Hasbro rant, but I think they need to reassess what they're doing as a whole, as a company, just because I've noticed that a lot of their toys have gone down in quality all across the board, not just Transformers. You look at Star Wars stuff, the 3¾-inch line is all gimmicks. They've sacrificed articulation for giant missile launchers that have never appeared in any sort of fiction, which, I mean, I guess the kids would like it, but, you know, I've met some pretty smart kids that would be like, hey, you know, Darth Vader never used a giant missile.
Right, but kids have imagination, and that's what we had when we were children. I mean, Sergio, not you, because you look like you're probably like 12. But when I was a kid, we had this thing called imagination, and my Darth Vader had the lightsaber in his arm, and I knew that when I made the shh sound and pressed the lightsaber out, it would activate. And having girls, I've seen the pony toys versus the Transformers, G.I. Joe, and Star Wars toys, which I collect. And there is a drastic difference between the princesses and the ponies and the quality of those figures versus the lack of quality in the boy selection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I mentioned earlier, the wings are rubber. They've replaced missiles with Nerf darts. Like the Black Series line, thankfully, has been actually pretty well. I'm not too happy about the 3¾-inch being Walmart exclusives. But the 6-inch line, thankfully, the sculpt has been pretty well. The paint apps are arguably slipping. But when it comes to Transformers, I really agree with what you said, that they really need to kind of reevaluate what they want to do in the future. Because I get the whole thing, what they're trying to do is you got rescue bots for the little ones, RID for the, you know, maybe 5 to 10 age, and then 11 and up, you got your generations and all the other fans, and then the occasional masterpiece at Toys R Us here and there. But every time I go into a store, you've got, you know, all this shelf space, and then Transformers are in the corner, maybe a couple pegs, maybe two pegs of generations. The rest are RID, which arguably I can understand. Maybe they'll sell a lot better. I don't know anything about the logistics about that stuff, but it's like I just remember going into a store and then half the shelf was all Transformers. Even if you go back to like the 07 movie, you had like an entire aisle.
Well, movies are different. For any movie release, there's whether it's Iron Man, Spider-Man, Transformers, G.I. Joe, there's always a special promotion involved with movies.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, on non-movie years, I can understand, like you said, you know, with movie years, they push the toys along with the movie. But non-movie years, it's like, you know, they I rarely even see a commercial now for Transformers. Even when the movies are out, maybe I see a commercial every, you know, couple days, maybe. Like sometimes I go weeks without seeing one.
You know, kind of to interject before we move too far, listener Dustbuster on YouTube, he has a good point, and I agree with it, but at the same time, I don't think it's an excuse for Hasbro. He says, issues with paint apps have been a thing since Beast Wars, when Takara broke away from Hasbro and going for more show-accurate paint schemes. He said, I don't know if fans would care quite the same way if Takara wasn't consistently providing a contrast. I agree with that. But at the same time, why is it that Takara can get these better figures? Obviously, here in the U.S., we have the RID 2.0 line that's aimed at the middle-aged fan, and then you got the rescue bots for the younger fans. Those two age groups generally wouldn't care about paint apps as much as, say, mm-hmm. the collectors would. Your Titan Returns lines, your Generations type stuff, are aimed at the older comic book reading age group, the people who would scrutinize that stuff a lot more. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's excusable to cut corners on people who would scrutinize that stuff.
Yeah, and I understand, you know, I'm not going to go out there and say, oh, you know, they're just doing this just because greedy. I understand that they're a business. Their main priority is to make money. They want to pay their employees. They want to go home and eat. They're a business. They need to make money. And I understand that there are manufacturing costs that we have to take into account. You know, shipping these out from distributor is not free. buying the materials for this is not free. Hiring the people to design these is not free. But at the same time, I will give them credit where credit is due. Compared to Combiner Wars, in my opinion, the Titan Return line is far better. And the engineering that they're doing this is starting to get more of what we used to see. The newer wave stuff is getting less and less hollow, which I love. And it's just they're bringing these characters that a couple of years ago we never would have thought that we'd have. You know, these kind of obscure characters that
Top Spin.
Couple of years ago, like Top Spin,
Croc,
Breakaway, Quake. You know, these characters that are pretty obscure and we're getting now, which is definitely appreciated, but they're just so close to getting the quality back up there that I think it's, I don't know, it's
Rick, you it's had, hard. You have a comment?
Well, you know, I can actually speak to the paint issue. It's sort of on subject, but kind of not. At Takara, they have a strict mandate that you will make this based off the reference. Whereas Hasbro, and this is not a shot at anybody, at Hasbro, it is really left in the hands of the designer to decide what the color is, and there is no mandate to say, all right, you're going to make this off, you're going to base this off the toy, or you're going to base this off the show. It is really up to the individual, and there are a number of individuals on the team, so you have a number of different people working in their own way to create the decos for each figure, whereas Takara, you might have a number of different individuals working in one direction, which is why you have those drastic color changes, differences between the two brands. And also Takara knows that they're going to export a certain number of those figures to other countries. They are capitalizing on that. So that's just a little behind the scenes view of some things are the way they are.
All you got to do is just take a look at the contrast between the Hasbro product and the Takara Tomy product. Look at Titan Returns, like Sergio brought up. Titan Returns, you know, you might have very little paint apps or completely different color schemes, and then you have the Takara product, which is more spot on colors, like Rick was alluding to. You know, they follow a more strict guideline. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, you know, and if you want that, it's you have two choices. You can either save money and buy the domestic product, or you can spend a little bit more. Well, not necessarily a little bit more, because sometimes it's like it's twice as much, and get the Takara product. You know, the Titan Returns line, the only Takara one I've got so far is Weird Wolf. And that's only because that's my favorite character. While I love Headmasters, it's just not cost effective for me as a collector to get every single Japanese version of it, even though I feel that the Japanese version is far more superior.
Yeah, and recently there's been a bunch of different outside factors. With the whole Brexit thing, the yen was all over the place. It shot up. And their retail prices, since they're starting to include the little Titan vehicles and plus extra paint apps and different molding, you know, a deluxe, even from Japanese retailers, is maybe $40 after conversion. And as opposed to the Hasbro one where you can get it from $9.99 at Walmart, you know, is the $30 before shipping really worth the extra few paint apps in the little vehicle? And sometimes in cases where they're drastic, like Blur, I said, okay, I'd rather pay the extra to get, in my opinion, a far superior figure. But it's just, in recent times, I've started buying a lot more Takara. I think my Titans Return line is way more Takara than it is Hasbro. But looking back at it, it's been busting my bank.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really expensive to export those, that specific line.
Yeah. Our friend Jason Tate, Tater X, he posted on Facebook just a few moments ago, and this is a good point too. The prices are just at the limit for me to buy the entire line. The paint could be better and the limbs less hollow. But if that's the difference between $15 to $17 deluxe figures or paying $30 plus right now, then I'm fine with where we're at. You know, and a lot of, and the, I think a lot of collectors, a lot of your casual or general collectors are just that way. You know, I'm fine with saving money and getting a less superior product than I am spending extra money. And if I'm going to spend the extra money, it's going to be like on my favorite character, like Weird Wolf, or the Super Genrai that's coming out. Mm-hmm. It's a heavy retool and completely different than what we got here in the U.S. And it's like buying a whole different toy, you know.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I base my purchases off. Like, you know, whenever I buy a Masterpiece figure, I expect it to be the top,
exactly,
top quality. If I'm paying $90 for a toy, it better have little to no flaws. Whereas if I buy a $9.99 deluxe, that, you know, could have a few more paint apps, I'm not gonna gripe as much about it because, okay, well, $10, you know, there's little wiggle room for them to, like Takara, where they add as much paint as they want. But I agree with the point where it's just like, we're not asking for much.
No,
I'm not asking for them to just slather all the paint, but, you know, like Rick mentioned earlier, just at least the eyes or something. Give us something.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we're not asking, you know, and this is something that, you know, we're not sitting here saying, oh, well, you know, Takara stuff is crap, you know, and or I mean, not Takara, but Hasbro stuff is crap. It's not worth buying or anything like that. This is just a critique that we have as collectors and fans of the toys that we buy. You know, I'm with you. I would rather they have less hollow parts and more paint apps. They would, and I feel like I would get more bang for my buck. However, you know, like Rick explained, you know, there is a reason why they are like this way. And this is what I can get in within my budget, you know, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I will say my daughters have a very wide view of the world. Casey is 5, Maddie's 2.5. They play with Transformers, Thundercats, My Little Pony, Barbie, Disney princesses. They have a very wide range of toys in their life. Never once have either one of them come up to me and said, Daddy, this doesn't look like the show, or why can't it do this, or why can't it do that? So I kind of see it from everyone's perspective. I see it from the adult collector perspective. I see it from the person who has worked behind the scenes on it. I see it as the person who has sold the product. I see it as a father. Even in my own home, I'm trying to like just understand, like, wow, you know, she really has that point of view, and I probably had that point of view too when I was a kid and using my imagination to play with things, and I watch the way my children play. And point is if anyone has a Takara Titans Return blur that they want to sell, please let me know.
Well, you know,
And shout out to my buddy. Do we have time to give a shout out to my buddy Chuck Clothier?
Absolutely.
Ron? No, we don't? Okay.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, it doesn't matter.
But, you know, let's reel it all the way back to 1984, 85, 86, 87. You know, whenever some of us who were older, Sergio.
10 years BSG before Sergio.
Yeah.
Sergio, do you know where babies come from?
The stork, right?
Okay.
They're found in stasis pods. They fall out of the sky, and then they scan an alt form, and they become a human.
That is the best answer I've ever gotten.
I scanned the humans ahead, Taco.
Okay. Moving on. But seriously though, back in the 80s, whenever I was a kid playing with Transformers, it was rampant throughout Generation 1 that the toys didn't necessarily look like the cartoon. You know, I mean, Wheeljack's toy bared very little resemblance to his cartoon counterpart. The toy was short and chalky and had these big gorilla arms, and the cartoon didn't, you know, not, or at least not in the same way.
The cartoon gave him eyes.
The cartoon gave him eyes, you know.
In your head, he was like a masterpiece. It was like, whoa, he's right out of the cartoon.
There's other better examples of that. But as a kid, I still loved the toys. I still loved the characters. And like Rick was saying about his daughter, you know, I didn't give a damn as a kid. You know, I got my toy that at least resembled the character that I was that I cared for.
And passed the squint test.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, although there's some of them, like Jetfire, you know, it's like,
Right.
You know, but I really didn't give a damn whether or not it was you know, not like the cartoon. Night Swords has a perfect example. Ironhide and Ratchet, you know, it's like, where the hell are their heads? Oh, there's a sticker behind the windshield, you know. I didn't care, and I think that's ultimately what we got to understand is these are children's toys, and as long as they're fun and within a budget, and I think someone else mentioned it, Dustbuster mentioned it earlier. You know, if Hasbro did exactly what Takara does, and you know, gives us more paint apps, the same kind of paint apps and everything, the price would have to go up on the toys, and it would price a lot of collectors out of the hobby. And, you know, where, and it's like Rick was saying, where would we be in 20, 30 years if we had a lot of collectors, a lot of fans, especially younger fans, that quit buying the toys because they were just too damn expensive? Mm-hmm. I'm glad that Takara does it completely different, because it gives me an option. You know,
it's a nice treat. You can't get every Takara figure,
yeah,
but you get the ones that are special to you, such as Weird Wolf or Blur or Shinrai. It's a nice treat.
Yeah,
yeah, it definitely makes me appreciate them more because I paid for them more. And you know, it's, I wanted to mention this earlier, but I completely forgot. To me, it seems that, you know, it's been mentioned before, and I know Rick can probably back this up, that Hasbro and Takara work pretty well together when they're designing a toy. You know, there's obviously communication between the two of them, but I feel as recently, like, Takara has been kind of, you know, kind of trying to do their own thing. The biggest one was Computron.
Yeah.
It was extremely different. It was like night and day between the two. And I feel like they just couldn't reach an agreement to where Takara was like, well, you know, we want to remold this, and Hasbro maybe just didn't want to spend the money on the new molding.
That is kind of like hitting it on the head. For every mold that Takara does that is exclusive to them, if Hasbro wants to use it, they then in turn have to retroactively back pay royalties to Takara for that mold. And Hasbro was probably just looking for the quick way out. What redeco can we do to make Computron or Takara? I think Computron is a case where Takara actually takes pride in we're making our Computron as accurate as possible for the collectors and for ourselves as designers and enthusiasts of the brand. Computron's a very special thing, where I really do feel Takara saw it as a point of honor,
mm-hmm.
and not a point of numbers on a spreadsheet.
They take a lot more pride in their product, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think during the design phase, you know, Hasbro was probably like, well, why don't we just repaint it, throw in some new hands and feet and call it a day. And I think Takara was like, you know what, I think we're going to kind of do our own thing on this one. You guys do you and we're going to do us. And it's been happening more recently, you know. Jinrai has been the recent one.
Yeah.
Where so, it's not night and day, but you know, they went back and changed stuff that they wanted to do better.
And I would say Jinrai might be a situation where they approached Hasbro and said, "Hey, would you like to pay for part of the tooling on this?" And Hasbro, it may have said, "We don't really understand this character, don't really get it. we're going to pass for the time being. It could have been that situation, or it could have been just a car kept it for themselves and did it on their own without Hasbro knowing. Mm-hmm. That is the case sometimes. I can tell you from firsthand experience that is sometimes the case. So I'm eager to hear what Don has to say about this. He's you know, just slightly older than I am. He's a product of the 80s.
He's even slightly older than Brett.
Right. Don is from the Diaclone. Diaclone Don. So
if I have
Don, I'm eager to hear what you have to say about this, because I'm an old spirit. I'm 37. I know I look like I'm 57, but I'm 37. So Don, I'm eager to hear what your opinion on the brand, its current state is.
Yeah. Oh, actually, it'd be Donna Clone. That's what it would be at that point.
Donna Clone.
All right, I'm going to start off with movies. Since the first movie, I really have not enjoyed the movies. I don't hate them. I don't like them. I go in with zero expectations, and I have left with zero expectations fulfilled. You know, I'm not saying there's not good production values in some cases. For example, in Age of Extinction, John Goodman's voice work as Hound was the only highlight for me in the entire movie. His work as Hound's voice really was a highlight on how good it was and how much it fit the character. And I even tweeted to Mr. Goodman that, you know, I didn't get a reply, but I wasn't expecting one, of how that performance was the only highlight for me. I'm not looking at it from a, oh, these Dinobots aren't my Dinobots, or this Optimus isn't my Optimus. The movie is its own thing. It's going to keep on doing its own thing. I'm going to watch them. I'm going to go in and hope to enjoy them. If I don't take anything away from them, it's just me not – the storytelling is not there for me. But I will say this. A lot of people like the movies. If you like the movies, that is perfectly fine. We've gotten a lot of good movie toys. Sidearm Sideswipe is one of my favorite movie toys. And the Revenge of the Fallen Optimus, while being a absolute you-know-what to transform, is still a great-looking figure. I have several versions of that. But the thing about the movies for me, leading into my next thing, is the amount of money it brings into the brands. Oh, my God, it brings in a pea pot full of money. And I don't think we would have the eclectic mix of characters through Reveal the Shield, Universe, Generations, whatever you want to call your retro, your nostalgic line, whatever name they want to use, Titans Return, Combiner Wars, whatever the case may be, we would not have the breadth and the depth of characters that we have now without the movie money making a lot of this possible. I've loved Combiner Wars. I think there was a great selection in Combiner Wars. Yes, I agree with a lot of people. There was a lot of mold fatigue near the end. But we finished off technically with Lyle Kaiser, which I think was a completely out of the blue and unexpected way to end the current run of Combiner Wars, per se. Computron, again, I have both versions because I could not decide. Both had aspects that I loved, and so I went ahead and got both. I didn't get both Bruticuses because, as you were saying, the bang for the buck, the differences between the two was not there for the price difference compared to the differences in the Computrons. I've always felt that Hasbro's lack of paint is understandable because they have to look at a case of eight figures, say deluxe, and say, what's the best way to get this to market at this lowest cost? It's like, I always go back to Reveal the Shield Jazz. That was one of my most unfavorite figures, bad grammar aside. It was a blah figure. It had almost no paint on the backside. It was not a good-looking Jazz. And then you saw all the repaints, especially the BotCon repaints. And then we got Wheelie. And that mold, with the proper paint applications, shines. It really does look good with the right paint. So the movie money is making all this stuff possible. And if you told me 20 years ago we would have an all-headmaster line, I would have fell on the floor laughing. I would not have believed it. And we do. I understand about the hollow parts. I wish Hasbro would add just a little more paint. If they could maybe cut corners. I don't know where they would cut corners. I don't know. Rick, you could probably look at the current packaging and say, if they wanted to add paint on, say, this wave of Titan Returns, where could they cut and not overall affect it?
All right. Because, so it is packaging, but there's a certain space they need to fill within the brick and mortar stores, and the packaging helps them fill that space.
Right.
Packaging serves a purpose of displaying the card art.
Right.
In most cases. And there is a general perception that a smaller package should give a smaller price. So taking the deluxe figures, making that package more form-fitting like the car and upping the price simply would not play in most markets.
Right. Now, I know they went, like, for example, one year they were talking about going from plastic twist ties to the rattan ties. And now they've gone to basically the little stretchy ties. I'm sure there's some cost savings there involved as well with the way they're being secured. That's saving them some money. It may be a fraction of a penny per package, but when you make a million packages, there's a cost savings there. But again, I just wish Hasbro could add a little more paint. But the biggest concern I have for the State of the Union for domestic product is some of the QC. We've been getting some really iffy QC coming out of some late combiner wars. Skull Smasher. I think everyone here has seen a Skull Smasher with rubber band legs. There's the flap on Weird Wolf that cracks and breaks in many cases. Well, yeah, there. It's not a rampant problem. But it is fairly widespread from what I think. Paladins on Superhero Time, I think his Weird Wolf is cracked or has at least got a severe stress mark. And I've seen several people on several forums mention the same thing. So it's not uncommon, but it's not rampant either, but it's there. I think the QC needs to be looked at in some cases. On my Skull Smasher, not only are the hips bad, but there's the flash molding on the inside of the wrist is the only thing keeping the wrist attached. Because the bumps that serve as the pinholes are not almost non-existent. It's the flash around them that's keeping it in the actual socket.
Wow.
So, you know, again, I think this may be something moving to Vietnam. It could be Skull Smasher was the first figure off the line, and so therefore the tweaking on some of these batches hadn't been done yet. But I wish Hasbro would look at the QC issues. I do wish they could add some paint if they could find a way to bounce it out over the course of a case. There's that. Takara, I think Takara is hitting it out of the park on a lot of these figures. Jinrai, again, for example, you've got Blur, looks so much better. Scourge looks better. But these are not characters that I want to pay the extra money to get. I would like to have a Blur, but he's not that important to me because I have a nice third-party Blur that's my Blur. I wish, even with the yen rate, with the shipping out of Japan, that's why I didn't get Convoy Bat, is because he's running about $66 right now at Hobby Lobby in Japan, but you're looking at least another 20 to 25 shipping minimum unless you get Surface for a deluxe. Surface shipping would be the cheapest thing, and that's still going to be $10 to $15 Surface with no tracking, no insurance. So you're looking at $75 bare minimum for a deluxe figure. I can't do it. Even if the set had included Convoy Bat and Gator Megatron together, and they dropped the Optimal Optimus mini figure, I would have done that for $75 to $90 for both figures. But
let me ask you something, Don, and sorry to interrupt you.
That's fine.
What was your position on the BotCon figures? Were you one of the guys who bought the sets, or did you wait till later?
No, I always got the Primus package because, again, you never really knew how fast. I mean, with the Primus package, you knew you got all the main stuff, and then of course there was a reveal for the souvenirs. It's, you know, I wanted to be part of the convention experience. I wanted to go ahead and get my figures while I knew there'd be no problem, and then I might want to pick up some of the souvenir stuff on down the road if I didn't want it at that time. But usually I got all the souvenir figures as well. It's just, you know, paying that for a BotCon set, if you look at it from a set standpoint, plus the comic, plus the free figure you got with the Primus package, is one thing versus $85 for a single deluxe shipped. Maybe in percentage standpoints, it works out the exact same thing, but just looking at it emotionally, $85 for a single deluxe figure kind of sucks.
I agree.
But yeah. But again, I think Takara is doing a great job. I think they need to keep on doing their own separate thing because it does give us choice. Third party. I think with third party, they need to all get off the same copycat page. They need to stop. There's an old running joke from an old episode of Hercules, Legendary Adventures, that there's an art class, and you've got one guy copying everybody else. His name is Xeroxius. And if you get the joke, it's Xerox. Yeah. It's a copier. And basically, the art teacher goes over and he keeps pulling off pages. And it's the same thing, page after page after page. It's the same drawing. And that's what I'm seeing from these third-party companies. We're up to six Springers in Masterpiece style.
If I may interject, Don, the thing with third parties, though, and this is something that a lot of people don't really stop and consider. We refer to them as companies, but they are not companies per se, like we refer to Hasbro and Takara. Those are companies. Third parties are mainly a several group of guys or girls, you know, that get together. They collaborate on a project, and they have a factory produce it.
Right.
And the market, which a lot of them are driven by the Chinese market, which the Chinese market is growing day by day, where you have more and more people in the Chinese market that have more disposable income than in recent years ever before, I guess. And so, you know, they grew up with the characters that we grew up with, but they didn't, I don't think they got the same love that we got as far as toy wise. Mm-hmm. And now those people are wanting these toys. They want these masterpieces. You know, Hasbro and Takara, they can't crank them out fast enough. Right. You got these people getting together and saying, hey, you know, I'd love to see a Springer, and Takara Tomy is dragging their feet on this. Let's put out a Springer. I don't think they really give a damn what Joe Blow and said cubicle 100 miles away is drawing on their sketch pad for their next release. Right. It just so happens that they are putting out the same product.
Yeah, and I understand, but I just use companies for an easy term of use because they do have identities. Mastermind Creations has an identity. Unique Toys has an identity. So they may be just a small group of people, but you still think of them as a separate identity. There may be collaborations like Unique Toys, DX9, and so forth and so on. But they're already splitting a very niche market even tighter if they do a lot of these same characters across the board. We don't need another Devastator. I mean, this is personally. We don't need another Springer. We don't need another MP, another Optimus Prime. You know, that's what we're going to get because that's where the money is.
Let me ask you this, though, Don. Do you think that improving upon something is better? Yes, there's a Titans, there's a Hasbro Takara Devastator, there's Hercules and Green Giant. But do you think, like, the new Devastators that are coming out, Should they not be coming out, even though they may seem to many people that they are better than that? Should we not continue to improve upon what we already have?
I guess what it boils down to me is I want these companies to make money, because as we've all said, Mastermind, Fans Toys, DX9 in the past year or so, there's several companies out there that I didn't name that have gotten to be extremely good companies, extremely well-made toys. Y Zhang, who does that incredible evasion mode leader class Optimus Prime, where they improve upon the original design, they add metal, they add parts to the design that actually makes it a more cohesive unit. It was one of my figures of the year in one of the review shows. I just wish they would do characters that we weren't getting, so that there would be less confusion over which one of these six Springers do I get, versus, okay, Takara is doing a limited amount of stuff for Beast Wars. Hasbro is doing nothing. Let's do a Tarantulas. Let's do the rest of the core Beast Wars Season 1 cast. If Combiners are popular, here's our Tri-Predicus. Here's our Magna Boss.
Talking about collaboration, though, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I brought this up. I don't think that they sit and talk about what figures they're going to release, but I do wonder if some companies have some collaboration. And I'm sharing this on the screen share right now. If you're watching on YouTube, I've got the Makitoi Cupola, which is their Chrome Dome, their masterpiece Chrome Dome, and then Fans Toys FT18 Lupus, their Fans Toys version of Weird Wolf. Standing side by side, they are virtually the same height. And I kind of wonder if this is by design, if like one company's going to do Autobots and the other company's going to do Decepticons. I'm kind of wondering if there's some kind of communication there, because I mean, if you look at this picture, you got to say, hey, you know, it can't be so random that they are virtually the same size. I just wish that the heads would interact, but they don't. I kind of wonder if they are going to have that kind of communication to where, okay, you do the Autobots, we'll do the Decepticons, and they're going to be this size scale. If they're going to communicate on that level, I would wish that, you know, well, you're doing Devastator, we'll do Piranacon. We're doing Piranacon, these people over here are going to do
Road Caesar.
Yeah.
Across.
So I wish that if there is communication between these groups, which I know for a fact there is between some individuals.
Right. Because there are too many similar design toys from too many different companies. So these designers are floating designers. I think we've seen some of their designs, and they're brilliant designs. And, well, I mean,
I know a fact that some third party companies, the same guy works for two companies, you know. So, yeah, it's just a fact.
Yeah. So, I love third party. I love when if you told me back when I bought City Commander that I would have the amount of third party, I would not have believed you, because I thought this is a one time thing. It's not going to last. It's going to be your Beanie Babies thing. It's going to implode on itself. And it won't last. Dumb me. That was 5-6 years ago with City Commander. Now look at how much product we've got. I like you said, I do wish there was more communications. I wish there was less repetition. I wish there was more niche filling. Don't everyone jump on. I wish we could get out of the 84, 85, 86 time frame.
Let's finish up those characters, guys.
I know that's where the money is. And believe me, guys, I understand it. I know they got to make money to make the next figure. I understand that, but if any company will break, now I like Beast Wars. I am not a huge Beast Wars fan as far as the toys. There's nothing wrong with them. It's just I have all of them, and there's not many that I would want a masterpiece version of, because I'm fine with the ones we've got. You know, it's just kind of the way I am on that. But do I want a masterpiece Silverbolt? Oh, hell yeah. I want a masterpiece Silverbolt. But I just wish there was more niche filling on the new company that's doing the Monster Bots. That is wonderful to me, because that's something that needs to be updated that no one else has done, and we're getting third-party new Monster Bots.
And
I want to see new...
To that end, just to kind of interject, I'm actually getting the Repugnus in hand here in the next week or so. So look for pictures of it.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
I want to see new Omnibots. I want to see Masterpiece RID 1.0. I want Speedbreaker, Mach Alert,
X-Bron.
Wild Ride.
I want Masterpiece Fire Convoy.
All right, Don, let me interject here for a second, because I haven't said anything in a few minutes, and I feel the public really wants to hear me.
Oh, wow. And you're so modest, too.
I don't know what that word means. So, listen, I feel a lot of people in the community, as well as third party, are leaning towards Masterpiece. Do you think that there should be the focus for third party should be on Masterpiece, on Generations-esque, or split between the two?
I think it needs to be more split, because there's enough characters for everyone to do something different, or at the very least add a little more variety from these different eras, and everyone still make money. Because you've got people doing War Within figures, for God's sake. That's the only thing more niche than I can think of than War Within figures would be Kiss Player figures. Masterpiece Kiss Players. Just let that sink in for a minute.
No, thanks.
But
Jim's all up in that.
Let that sink in.
But I just want the variety that everyone can have something to look forward to instead of six Springers or multiple Infernos or whatever the case may be. And the last thing I'll say on the subject for third parties, guys, gals, ladies and gentlemen, your instructions suck. I know English may not be your first language, but I'm sure you have to speak it to a degree,
Don.
So please, all third party people, please work with your instructions.
So if there's any third parties out there listening to the broadcast tonight, please contact Don. He's willing to help you.
Don.
Yes. Yes, there are.
These things are gray on black. These are the official Hasbro instructions right now blow. I'm sorry. These are the worst printed instructions I have ever seen.
I agree, but I'm not trying to go there, because I knew someone else was going to bring that up at some point. I'm just saying for the amount of money that the third parties are charging for these figures and having bad instructions that you can't follow. I do not remember the last figure I followed the instruction sheet. I use video reviews to transfer
fans things. Toy. And that's what I was going to say, Don. There are so many video reviews out there for every figure that you almost don't even need the instructions anymore.
True, but well, you kind of want the instructions, like if you can't go online, or if for some reason the video review you've got, it's like, I'm gonna bring up this real quick example and I'll let it go. Y'all remember the Transportation Captain? It was an Astro Train figure that came with a coal tender. Now, I was considering getting that, but I tried to find a video review on it. There are so few video reviews for that figure, and none of them really had a great transformation that you can follow, that I couldn't really make a decision about the figure, because I couldn't tell the complexity, I couldn't tell the bill materials. So right now I'm not sure about that figure, because there's just a lack of anything really to go by. But I'm just saying I would like to see better instructions out of the third parties. But that, again, that's just me. But that's my state of the union as far as that. Don't ask me about Titans Master RC.
Now, I will say, Fans Toys Lupus, the instructions that came with it, I absolutely love. Because if you remember back in 84, whenever the G1s first started coming out, like, for example, Blue Streak, Jazz, They had photographs of the toy with somebody transforming it. That's the way Lupus's instructions are. And absolutely applaud them for that.
The best instructions I've ever seen have come from the one line that I hate the most, and you all know what that line is. Beast Machines. But they had some of the best instructions on the back because they had the high, because they used the gray prototypes with the white highlighted parts so you could tell what was moving. That was some of the best instructions they've ever done.
Yeah. All right, Jim, we have not heard from you yet. Your thought on the state of the franchise right now and where you expect it to be throughout 2017.
Well, the franchise, I think, is in a really good spot right now. I mean, we've got movie 5 coming up. I just recently went back and I've rewatched the previous 4 Bay films, and it had been quite a while since I've watched them, even in a marathon, but at all. And I was just enamored all over again. Granted, yes, it's not G1, or yes, it's not whatever you grew up with, but it's just neat to see a lot of your favorite characters represented in that form. And it was done in such a way where now we're getting a fifth film. We've got all this new stuff to look forward to.
It's just a money grab.
Well, yeah, it seems that way, but I don't know. I mean, the fans kept demanding Dinobots. We got Dinobots, finally. And I'm looking at what we saw in the trailer coming up, and I'm wondering what happened to my train of thought, because it just left the station.
That astral train of thought just transformed and it flew totally off into outer space.
I went off on a tangent. I don't know. But yeah, I am eagerly anticipating the I would assume the Super Bowl would be our next spot in a trailer. But I have really high hopes. I like what they're proposing and what they're doing. I'm a little uncertain really how I feel about for example Hot Rod. As they've shown us the images, he's like mostly black and gray, and then has a little bit of red here and there. But I don't know if they hold to the character, how the character should be represented, then I guess I can live with it. But overall, I think the movies are doing well. Generations and Titans Return. It seems like every other day I'm logging in, checking Facebook, checking the 2005 board or Cybertron.com, and I'm blown away day after day. Just within a week's span, we've had revealed Croc and some of these odd others. Topspin, we saw a little picture a couple weeks ago, but anyway. And then I find out like 90 minutes before we went live this evening, they're already on the shelves in the Philippines. People have them in hand right now.
So yeah, if you got a deep enough wallet, you could get them right now.
Sure.
Just have them shipped over here.
But I mean, like, we just found out that these things even exist and that these are going to come out. And here they are. But it is really neat. Like Sergio was saying, a lot of these background characters, that you haven't seen in, 25, 30 years, when's the last time we got, G1 Quake or Croc
or Double Cross?
Yeah. Yeah. Twinferno, Double Cross.
I refuse to call him Twinferno.
Yeah, I know. But, or heck, even, I just had his name on. Well, anyway, yeah.
At least we didn't get a horrible.
Topspin was in Fall of Cybertron, by the way.
Well, sure. As a retool repaint, but this one is actually designed to resemble the G1 toy and figure. That's amazing. you know, and it seems like we're almost getting like Generation One condensed over the course of the Prime Wars trilogy, like in its entirety. And if we're not getting a whole figure, we're getting a Titan Master, you know, or some other nod. So, for like the older fans like us, well, most of us, it's neat to see a lot of these characters finally given some kind of recognition. But for the younger fans, it's neat to see, you know, these characters for the first time. You know, this for a lot of people will be their first, you know, their first Croc, their first Sharktacon. You know, I don't know. I'm just really optimistic. But at the same time, there is one thought that's been lingering in the back of my brain, and I could be crazy. I'm probably crazy.
Are you sure it's just not a fart that just bubbled up and didn't come out the right way?
No, I've been avoiding carbonated things. I've switched to tea now here for the past week. But what I've been wondering though is you know, we've had classics and we've had, you know, repaints that resemble other characters from other lines and this and that over the years. But the Prime Wars trilogy in itself seems specifically, you know, with the exception of just a couple figures here and there, seems specifically a condensed Generation One predominantly. And I'm wondering, being that G1 is such an old line, if this might in a way be kind of a last hurrah for Generation One and the homages, and kind of a closing of that door and opening of a new one with this new expanded universe with the films and everything.
You know, that's interesting. You know, it might be like a Hasbro's here's your characters you've always wanted, shut the hell up. You know, but. And I think even Aaron Archer, whenever way back in the day at a BotCon panel, I don't even remember what year, maybe 07 or 08, you know, he said something. Somebody asked him where did he see the fandom being, you know, the toys that we're getting and everything. Where did he see it in 15, 20 years? And if I recall correctly, he said something along the lines of eventually Generation One homages and everything are going to go away because the people that want those toys aren't going to be as prevalent. We're fading out. Eventually, like Jackal said earlier, he would love to have a masterpiece Armada Prime. You know, me, I think it was a turd, but you know. I like the cab, but the combined mode was horrible. Now, does that mean that it's the idea of a masterpiece Armada Prime is not a good idea? No, I'm fully for it because I believe the fans like Jackal, like Sergio, who are younger and like newer characters, start making some of their G1 characters too. And I think we're starting to see some of that, especially in the Masterpiece line with Beast characters. We got Masterpiece Beast Convoy and Masterpiece Cheetahs. You know, it's given some love to the Beast Era fans when that was their G1s. I think it's not entirely outside the realm of possibility within the next 5 to 10 years having several Masterpiece RID, Armada, or even Unicron Trilogy characters. Because...
I don't know. If we get Masterpiece RID 1.0, it's probably going to be Combiner Wars repaints.
Yeah.
Which could work, like, for the Spy Chain.
Here's the thing. I want to make an analogy. For 8 years, I worked in a collectible toy store called Play With This. Then, of course, that's where I got the name of my company. But... the original Play With This, which is still in Merchantville, New Jersey, I got to learn about a lot of different toy lines. And there's the tin toys, which at one point items used to sell for $100,000, $130,000, $150,000 now sell for $20,000, $30,000. And the reason that's happening is because the people who collect those toys, the people who appreciate those toys, are dying off. Mm-hmm. And there's less demand. So the price is coming down because there's less people looking at those items. And in 40 years, let's face it, there's going to be less people looking at G1. There's going to be less demand for a Omega Supreme or a Star Saber or a Deathsaurus than there is today, at least in the G1 sense. So to me, it absolutely makes sense that in 15, 20 years, 30 years, we're going to start seeing Armada Masterpiece, Energon Masterpiece.
I think it's sooner than that, really.
Masterpiece, yeah. Quillfire.
Yeah. And just remember, our G1 will be someone's Diaclone someday. It'll be the thing that they've heard about. They didn't grow up with it, but it's where what their stuff came from.
Well, that's the way it is for Sergio. Yeah.
Me? I got like, what, 30, 35 Masterpieces, and I haven't even fully watched G1.
But you know the characters. And,
oh, yeah.
And see, that's the thing. Right now, G1 is a big thing because there's a lot of passionate G1 fans out there, like many of us that's here on the show, many of us that's watching the show. We're passing a lot of our love is rubbing off on people like Jackal and like Sergio, who, you know, they are familiar with those characters because that's who we are getting right now. And I think the same thing is going to be reciprocal 10, 15 years down the line if there's still collectors then like we are now. You know, they'll be in their late 30s, early 40s, and they'll be passing their love of their G1, which is Armada and RID and stuff like that. They're going to be passing that love onto the younger generation then.
Yeah, my boss, he had the entire movie one line sealed, and he recently sold it at the BotCon they did here in Chicago. Well, Chicago was it two years ago.
Yeah.
He said that he was surprised at how fast they sold, and he was telling me that most of them were like people my age, and it made sense because, you know, I was what, 07, I was 11.
So how old are you now?
20. So when the movie came out, you know, people my age were like 10, 11. So to them, that's their G1.
That movie is 10 years old this year.
Yeah. And that's hard to believe. I can remember reading the message boards and all the speculation going on about the movies. And now here it's over a decade ago. It's like, wow. Yeah.
Well, I remember being at the BotCon when they were talking about in 2006. They were talking about the movie, and I remember them asking Greg Lombardo, which I'm sure you remember Greg, Rick, and he was
He's
at BotCon.
A good friend of mine.
Yeah, and people were saying, is Frank Welker going to be Megatron's voice? Is Frank Welker going to be Megatron's voice? And I remember that argument about, you know, why only he could be the voice and no one else could be the voice. And this people asking him at the panel. And, you know, so to be 10 years later is just kind of unreal. But also the fact that I can remember walking down through Asa's Zayers, if you remember the chain called Zayers or Roses, and see 40 feet of nothing but Transformers. For those of you who live in the north, we had a Bradley's down here for a short period of time, which I know Bradley's used to be real big up north, and it was like 20 feet of nothing but Transformers. Mm-hmm. And to me, that still feels like yesterday. So it's weird when you think about it, but then it's also not weird because you know there's been this passage of time. It's just the way you perceive change.
Yeah. Off topic, but I thought Hugo Weaving did a good job. I really enjoyed him as Mick.
I loved his voice.
I loved his voice.
But I think he said he just basically just did it for the paycheck because it was a really good paycheck.
His heart wasn't necessarily in it. It just like throwaway lines to just grunt into a microphone.
Yeah.
But to kind of wrap up the cast as far as our viewpoints, I'm going to throw my two cents out. My opinion of where the franchise is right now is that as a Generation 1 fan, over the last year or two, we've gotten Combiner Wars, and as a Headmaster fan in particular, I am getting my dream now where virtually the entire line are Headmasters. That being said, I can't be happier than where it is, where the main line is right now. I love the direction that they've been going. I think the Hasbro and Takara both they've finally come around to let's stop ignoring these characters and put out some very faithful homages. And I know from things that Rick said that, you know, that type of thinking at Hasbro hasn't been the status quo for many, many years. But apparently now they've gone back and said, okay, let's bring back some of these classic characters and do faithful updates of them. And I can't be happier. As far as the outlook of 2017, yes, we do have a new Bayverse movie coming out, and I have been vocal about it. I'm not a huge Bayverse fan. While I do appreciate and understand the contribution that the live-action movies have made to this franchise, and I'm thankful for that, I don't necessarily look forward to this movie. Will I go see it? Yes. Will I go see it on opening night? Most likely. But that doesn't, the last several movies, even going back to probably Dark of the Moon, I just get less and less excited about it because it's less and less Transformers, the core franchise for me. Yes, the names are there. Yes, you have transforming robots, but the Transformers themselves are less part of the story or less part of the meaning behind the film than humans are and the strife that humans have. And I understand the whole thing behind that. But I just got to say that I'm not excited for this movie.
Yeah.
I'm not holding out any expectations whatsoever. I don't expect the movie to fail. I don't expect the movie to succeed. I just I want to go see the movie. I hope it's a good movie. And like Rick said, I feel the toys have been uninspired for the movie since at least Revenge of the Fallen.
It was an amazing toy line.
Yeah.
Well, that one was the writer's strike. I mean, you got to give them that.
I mean, there were several Dark of the Moon toys that I felt were good. I mean, I still have Hatchet, you know, which is one of my favorites from that line. And I own very few movie toys. And to say that I still have one from a line that I thought I didn't care a whole lot for, was it the bad designs? I don't think it was necessarily bad designs. I just didn't care for the movies. So I didn't resonate with the characters as much. Like, I can like a G1 toy because, and it'd be a crap toy. Duocons are a good example. They're, you know, I like the gimmick, but they're generally a crap toy. But, you know, it's there's something behind it that drives me to like it. You know, you can have Perceptor had a great character. His toy is okay, but I love the toy because I love the character. And I don't feel the movies have that same allure to me. And maybe it's just because I look at it from a G1 fan's perspective. Does every G1 fan share in my opinion on it? Probably not. But notwithstanding.
But what is a G1 fan? Is it someone who only likes the film, or is it someone who grew up in that time period?
To me, a G1 fan is a person who grew up with the original toys and cartoons from the 80s. And that is their primary love of characters, a group of characters to love. And I don't know if you necessarily, I mean, you don't, to be a G1 fan, you don't have to have been born in the 80s or anything. Like Sergio, I'm sure he loves a lot of G1 characters. But whenever I refer to a G1 fan, I primarily refer to people our age, but not exclusively. I am looking forward to the little shot in the arm that we get every couple of years from in the fandom, because people rediscover the franchise through these live action movies. You know, I think that's a good thing, and I think a lot of what we've gotten, I believe Jim and even Don mentioned earlier before, we've gotten these great toys because of the live action movies. And I honestly, seriously doubt that the franchise would even be around right now as we know it, without the movies.
This many characters anyway, and this much product.
I feel like they were hoping that the same thing happened to G.I. Joe when they made the G.I. Joe movies. They were hoping for that one final push, and I guess it wasn't enough. It's kind of scary to think that if it wasn't for the Bay movies, you know, none of us might not even be here.
No doubt. And
all these toys that we got might not even be here. Who knows? The last toy we could have gotten was from Cybertron.
I don't think Transformers would have died without the live-action movies, but I think that a lot of people were reawakened to the Transformers franchise through the movies. Dustbuster said earlier in the YouTube comments, a lot of people don't realize that the Transformers as a toy line never truly went away. They heard about them back in the 80s, and then a lot of people grew up and everything, and then whenever these live-action movies, Transformers are back. They're bringing Transformers back. Well, a lot of people don't realize they never really went away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think for them to continue, they really got to nail every piece of media down, because they got a good movie, a good cartoon, a good video game. You know, we got really good comics right now, so they got that nailed down.
I think the comics are really what's driving a lot of what we're getting right now, especially in like Generations and everything that. Bang up writing and artwork from the IDW crew. I think whenever they signed with IDW or IDW signed with Hasbro, I think that's one of the best things that ever happened to the franchise, notwithstanding the movies. I think it was an amazing thing.
I agree. They've done some amazing stories.
I don't even actively read them, but I appreciate what they've done for the franchise. It's really an enjoyable time to be a fan. My outlook for 2017, as far as the franchise goes, I see later this year we're going to probably see the first images and first hear the first information regarding the line after Titan Returns. What's it called?
Power of the Primes.
Yeah, Power of the Primes.
Or Hound is the Prime.
But
it's gonna be horrible.
We're gonna see the first images of those, and going from what we've gotten from Combiner Wars and Titan Returns, if they parlay those same lines into that. The same thinking into that, I think we're in for some more really great figures. I've heard rumors of Predacons. I've heard rumors of Terracons. So we'll see. It remains to be seen. And it sounds like my neighbors are having a wrestling match. Anyway.
Wrestling.
Yeah, wrestling. no, they're not screaming, so. But I think it's a good outlook. I was pleasantly surprised by Combiner Wars a couple years ago, and we had two really good years of great figures, and then Titan Returns comes out and the phenomenal things that we gotten out of that. I am concerned, like as mentioned earlier, with some of the QC. If anything, more of the so there's design flaws rather than QC issues. Good examples would be Scourge and Highbrow. That floppy head, I mean, that's not a QC issue. It's just bad design. It's just got that little pinch thing, and you sit there and do like that, and it just like that all over the place. Yet you have other figures in the same line that don't have that same problem. You know, and why is that? You know, I think it's just, I don't know if it's lazy design or if it's just bad design.
I think what it has to do with what Rick mentioned earlier is that there's multiple people on the team. And I guess you're kind of, you know, maybe one guy designs this, another guy designs that. And using, you know, Masterpiece as an example, you know, for the longest time you had Hasui, who did MP10 up until, I think he designed a half of Magnus. So all those figures were consistently really good because it was just one guy making them. And, you know, every design aesthetically, you know, just engineering wise was very similar. And they kind of had a rocky transition when they switched over to the new guy. You know, Trax wasn't the best, but recently it's gone. Every release, especially Inferno, was just amazing. But I think with the Generations toys, it's just, you know, hey, why don't you design this? I'll design that. And then that translates into to the toys because, you know, the engineering, the aesthetics can be so different. And it just, you know, it's kind of annoying how the Scourge problem exists because it's something that is easily avoidable and that should not have been gone unnoticed.
Yeah. And it's I'm concerned about that, but I hope that they move more toward pay more attention to that as whenever they design future waves and future lines. I'm happy with the character selections that they've been doing. Maybe not necessarily the fact that we got like a deluxe Double Cross, but we're getting a Titan Master Repugnus. You know, where's a Grotusk? You know, I understand they can't give us every single character, but if you're going to do subgroups, you know, you don't have to do every single subgroup, but at least give us, if you're going to give us a subgroup, like the Insecticons. It took them, what, three different lines just to give us Kickback, Bombshell, and Shrapnel.
Yeah.
But they did it.
Hey, Duran, can I, with that thought, I kind of want to end with asking everyone on the panel tonight what their first choice for a third-party figure would be. And I want to start with Don. Don, if you had control over third-party, what is the one figure you would want third-party to make, and at what scale?
Come back to me on that, if you don't mind.
All right, Sergio.
I would do Beast Wars Transmetal Megatron, the second one. What surprised me the most...
And what scale?
Masterpiece. What surprised me the most was that the third-party guys did not get a foothold onto the Beast Wars. You know, with especially with the 20th anniversary passed in 2016. You know, I don't think anybody... When they first announced Primal, I think that came out really out of left field. I don't think anybody expected them to ever do Beast Wars anytime soon. And so when Takara did Beast Wars and just how successful Primal was from... what I've gathered reading on the forums and on Facebook, you know, everybody who's bought the figure is 100% satisfied with it. And I've seen very few complaints about it, but it just, I don't know. It like blows my mind just how third party continually does the same characters over and over again. Like somebody posted the other day, a picture of the, what, there's like seven Springers now. And yet,
not just you know, doing the same character over and over again. Now they do the same character, but they knock it off and they do it twice as big, like Warbitron.
Mm-hmm.
or Predaking. Not to cut you off, but Jim, same question.
Third party? I got to say one thing. I'm surprised, you know, aside from lack of the beasts, is there were an awful lot of figures and characters that people wanted in Combiner Wars, and I'm surprised third party didn't jump on that in some way to fill in the gaps that Hasbro and Takara Tomy did not. For instance, you know, where BotCon gave us that Ratchet custom for the class, you know, what if, you know, one of the third parties just did a Ratchet that just happened to be intercompatible with the Combiner ports that Combiner Wars uses in some way. Maybe not the same type of block, but, you know, something that would fit and function the same, you know, or a proper blast-off as opposed to just that kit. I mean, there's all kinds of things. Blue Streak, even. Or a hoist instead of a trailbreaker. But that was one thing I'm surprised they didn't jump on, because I mean, combiners, you know, the possibilities are limitless.
Or even like conversion kits. Like, what if they released new parts so that you can take a trailbreaker, swap out the legs, and now he has, you know, like a hoist, because he's got or he's got the camper and stuff. It's stuff like that. Some of these decisions where it's like, you know, why did really nobody think about this?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of it had to do with budget constraints, too.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on, Duran.
I actually have, I'm going to say two choices, but more along the lines of it's actually three. My number one that I would love to see is a Masterpiece scaled Death Source. I think since we've got an official Star Saber and a third-party upgrade to make it Victory Saber now, I think it's time we got a third-party faithful Death Source, and he better damn well have his Breastmasters, not like Carnifex that has no Power Masters. It's a great-looking toy, but where's the damn Power Masters? I'm a little bit pissed at that, and that's the only reason I haven't gotten it. I know, I understand it's the IDW version of Overlord, but you know, if you're going to put that toy out, why not please all the audiences? Give it the G1 or, you know, Power Masters, but also the IDW look. There's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. I would love to see a Masterpiece style Death Source. And second of all, is actually a set I would like to see. And this might surprise a couple people. And I see an obvious repaint out of it is Darkwing and Dreadwind, the actual Power Masters. And you could also repaint them into Buster and Hydra. I think those two toys would absolutely be awesome. I love those toys as a kid, and I'd love to see them in a Masterpiece scale. I doubt Hasbro and Takara will ever release those in official form as Masterpieces. So I'd like to see a third party tackle those.
Okay. I want to circle back to Don.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead with probably two, maybe three, just because I really can't narrow it down. The first one is going to be no big surprise. Everyone knows I'm going to mention this. It's going to be RC. Just because I do like the Generations RC well enough. I mentioned this before. I don't quite know what I was expecting when we heard we were getting one. It wasn't quite that, but I don't mind what we got, especially with the Takara version. But I would like to see a third party Masterpiece RC. Or even
YouTube
official.
Listener 30 actually called that.
Yeah, but it's not the point where I'm not trying to say what's expected. It's just the fact that we keep seeming it seems to be everybody doesn't want to pull the trigger on that character, and I know we've got one coming up from Toy World, I believe, but it does not. The pictures we're seeing does not make it look good at all. I just want to get a definitive representation of the character for everybody, whether you want Headmaster or not. I'm just saying if they do the Headmaster version with an optional head, you could always have Daniel riding an RC as a display and have her with a regular head that has no seams or stuff like that.
Don, can we take RC out of the picture, please? I don't mean this as a critique of Don. I'm just saying, Don, if you had to choose any other character besides RC,
I'm going to pick one of my other favorite characters, Fire Convoy.
Nice.
Because Robots in Disguise got no anniversary, no mention, no BotCon representation because... While I know Beast Wars is more popular,
Disney owns that TV show.
I know. I'm saying that for the BotCon set, the 2016 BotCon set, we could have gotten what Insane Galvatron made for Michael, and that would be a RID combiner with an Optimus Prime body, the three Car Robot Brothers, Ultra Magnus. Into a Combiner Wars Godfire Convoy. I know there's copyright issues and stuff. I'm just saying, but as a result, Robots in Disguise, not even an homage, not even a throwaway character name. We got shit. And that makes me very angry that nobody on either side of the ocean did anything for... Because Robots in Disguise in the U.S. was a filler season. I understand that. But it did give them the time, and there are fans like myself, and we got nothing from either side. So I would like to see a masterpiece, Ultra Magnus-sized Fire Convoy with regular and super modes so people could enjoy that character in a masterpiece style, and I hope that would open up the floodgates for the masterpiece Car Robot Brothers. We might not get a masterpiece Godfire Convoy. That may be too much money. But when you're getting a two-part Omega Supreme, I don't think too much money is a thing anymore.
Have a Godfire Convoy and a God Magnus two set and then put them together. You imagine one that whenever you combine them together, they're like a foot and a half tall. 2 feet tall.
Like I said, we're getting that Fans Toy Omega Supreme in two parts, and you know, it's going to be like $450 for both sets. So I mean, you know, too expensive really isn't a limiter anymore. But that's what I would like to see. Other than RC, is I do want to see Fire Convoy get some kind of representation, just so people know the line exists and it's not forgotten.
Yeah. I'm going to throw one in the hat here from our YouTube viewers. Transformers New Fan says, my choice, someday I'd like to see a masterpiece knockout from Transformers Prime. You know, you might laugh at that, Don, but that's a good one, especially for a third party.
Exactly. I just haven't thought about Prime as third party as being – got to that point yet in the timeline in my head, but you're exactly right. That would make an excellent masterpiece style figure because he would be like he could be like racing Hot Rod on your shelf or something. I mean, it would be real cool. It's just I just in the mental timeline we're up to Beast Wars and Beast Machines, Car Robots, that era of toys as what is the natural progression, not jumping all the way. The Prime, but you're exactly right. That would be a great.
Now, maybe someday get
faster on bulkhead first.
Before, let me throw this out because nobody's asked me what I thought.
Just a second, Rick. I want to throw this out. Jackal, I'd like to see you. I'd like to see a link where you or find out where you found out this information. But apparently, he says Hasbro Studios now owns the license to the original RID. Disney's license to it expired in 2014.
I think we would have heard of it.
That's why I'm asking for that.
Whether you're in Europe or whether you're in North America.
As I recall, I want to say there was some kind of interview a while back, the Q&A, BotCon or something, and they said that they own the rights to all Transformer series. I think I think the interview may have been like what surrounding like Headmasters and Master Force when those DVD sets came out here in the States. I think it was probably around that time, but I want to say they said that they do own the rights to all Transformers.
Not the ROD series, because I was there at the time when the Headmasters and Master Force and Victory series put out on DVD.
But here's a question, though. You said Disney owned. Does Disney just own the English dub of Car Robots? Or do they own?
They no longer they own the license. It ended in 14, is what he's saying.
Yeah, it's weird how it worked, because in Europe, Hasbro's able to release it, but not in North America. So,
sure. Yeah, we'll see.
If that's inspired, that certainly would be news to me. I would love to see a DVD release of it.
Because I have the Region 2 version that our friend Chris McFeely has done some commentary for on several episodes. I've got the Region 2 version.
What's wrong with McFeeling?
Yeah. Now, Rick, what was your pick for the third party?
Well, no one's brought this up, but the ultimate bad guy. I'd want a 2.5 foot tall, 3 foot tall Unicron.
Well, there's one in the works, isn't there?
I was going to.
Well, there is one in the works based off the
Neo
mold, which never came out. But I'm talking about a transforming 2 foot tall Pandemus type of figure.
I was going to say when Don brought up the Omega Supreme, I wouldn't be surprised 5 years from now if we're going to be buying Unicron limb by limb. We get a $500 foot the size of Metroplex.
If I could afford it, I'd do it.
Sure.
I'd do it.
Once you're stuck once you buy that first piece, you're stuck buying all the other pieces.
Each section can become like a smaller moon base or something by itself.
And it's got to come with an itty bitty tiny Galvatron that you can pose him with his mouth open, getting ready to swallow him.
But yeah, you know, I would like to see a Unicron that big. It's just I'm kind of Unicroned out. Even though he's not gotten that many toys,
like three,
But you know, to me, they just recolored, re-released, slightly retooled Armada Megatron that is out now. The one that they released a few years ago for Amazon has been re-released with different colors and stuff. To me, that's still a pretty good tool, a pretty good figure. The engineering's a little dated, but it still looks like Unicron.
Mm-hmm.
I just think if I'm going to get some big characters, I think I would like to see. I don't know. I agree, but also I'm just kind of Unicroned out. You know, maybe a Primus, maybe a Masterpiece Primus,
Masterpiece Energon Bulkhead. Come on, you know you want it.
I would take a animated Bulkhead any day of the week.
I don't know. Armada Sideswipe. He's got to have the hip waggle.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Here's something I'm going to add on to my list. This is for my friend Paladin. Masterpiece scaled animated Omega Supreme. That's one of the best looking designs from animated. One of the best looking design characters in general. He could pull off an arc mode.
Yeah.
And even in the animated aesthetic, it would still work, because Omega has that kind of giant super robot, you know, big claw arm, big rocket arm. He has that kind of super robot aesthetic that even the
animated too.
Yeah, and so even though it's animated looking, I don't think it would be a problem fitting in with someone's collection. It's not as animated as the other animated figures look, if that makes sense.
He doesn't have the chin thing going on.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we've had some great discussion tonight about where we think the state of the franchise is personally, where we see it going throughout the year, and our expectations. We'd love to hear from you fans. We heard a lot of great comments on the YouTube comments, and we thank everybody that's been participating in that. tonight. Some great, great stuff in there. You can follow us on our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. We have each episode as they're live pinned to the top of the group. It's the pin post for 1 week following the episode until the next episode airs. We'll leave it up there. Comment what your thoughts are on the state of the franchise throughout 2017. We'd love to hear from you. And also, don't want to end the show without mentioning our Patreon page. If you love TFYLP and love to see us do more and help support us, because it gets expensive doing this. As Rick takes a big swig. Check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/TFYLP. There's different levels there. We're still working on getting some stuff together. It's going to take a while, but you know, we got some great Patreons. It's already sending us some cash our way, help alleviate some of the issues that we have. Server costs are expensive. You know, software is expensive. Hardware is expensive. You know, we're upgrading to serve you better as fans of not just TFYLP, but as of Transformers.
Thanks to everyone who's already donated.
Absolutely, absolutely. Some great fans out there. Thank you, everyone. Check us out on Twitter at TFYLP. Again, on Facebook, we have a TFTalk.net Facebook page and also our Facebook group, which is for TFYLP, and that's where all the information about the shows are posted. And, of course, TFTalk.net, which is our home website. You can find out everything about TFYLP, great pictures, news. We're trying to get new news up every day. Not doing too good at that, but we're trying to get
naked pics of us.
Yeah, we might post naked pics pics of us up there, but if you know, we start scaring away too many people, you know, I mean, I don't have an ass, so you know,
Don's photo bucket.
Yeah. Yeah. Don just virtually flipped you off there. You could just see it in his face, you know.
I'm just sitting here looking good. That's just,
yeah. All I'm doing. Don's our official pinup.
You know? Oh God.
Well, there goes our one fan.
But I want to thank everybody for joining us this evening. Rick, Jim, Don, Sergio, thank you all for being on, and Jack, thank you for helping out on Facebook and on our YouTube channel. We will see you all next time on TFYLP. We'll be back next Saturday night at 8 p.m. Live, like we are every week. We'll see you next time, everybody.
Later, everybody. Take care.
Happy New Year.
Good night.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.